Good morning, Flagler County. This is Danielle Anderson, your host of Lifeline, the radio show connecting you to positivity here in our community. And we have brought Carmen Gray back for a second weekend because her story is so incredibly powerful. We just felt that it was important for you guys to not only hear her story, but the success that she's been able to have through the foundation. So good morning, Carmen. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back.
Girl, we're so glad you could be here.
I know folks. I'm glad to be here.
They've been hearing your story on WNZF this whole week in the news, and you know, hopefully they've been following along with, you know, what you've been trying to do and talk about. So we're going to introduce some of our guests. You want to go ahead, Trenton?
Yes, my name is Trenton Stewart. I'm 23 years old, living in Flagler County, and I've known Mama Carmen for about 7 years now.
All right.
My name is Valerie Diaz. I am 23 years old, also a resident in Flagler County, and I've known Mama Carmen for probably about 5-6 years now.
And on the phone, we've got joining us Drew. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is Drew Bowen. I'm from Flagler County. I've also known, you know, Mama Carmen since high school, so I'm about 24 years old now. But, yep, I'm just happy to be here, guys, to talk with you.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. So, Carmen, for folks who haven't heard your story yet, can you give us a little summary about what, you know, what brought you to this point today?
Absolutely. So I am the founder of LLC, Rise Above the Violence, Incorporated. It is a nonprofit. Lovingly, the kids came up with the acronym LLC, which stands for Long Live Kurt. And then that, of course, came about because in 2019, we suffered a tragedy countywide. With the loss of Curtis Israel Gray, who was a rising student athlete and making a huge impact in Flagler County as well as other counties, surrounding counties. I had no idea how far the reach was until after his life had ended.
And it was a split-second thing that kind of happened to your son, but it's kind of reverberated throughout the community.
Absolutely. I often say that it was one bullet, but it ricocheted into many homes, many lives, many students, teachers, faculty, staff, just people in the community that knew and loved him. I had no idea until we all showed up to celebrate his life at the march that took place in Town Center, and that was 5 years ago.
And so since then, you know, we talked last week about power of forgiveness. And honestly, where you are is a place that no mother could actually imagine being. You know, how are you able to kind of work through the things that happened and the trauma that you experienced on your own?
I will say this, for those of you who are listening, my entire organization is about being a strong advocacy and a strong advocate for positive mental health, for substance use prevention. Some things befall us through unforeseen circumstances. I would have never imagined that I would be here. However, it was the path my son was on before he left. Trent can talk a little bit more about the peer-to-peer support group that he started prior to his death. Valerie could talk a little bit more about his emphasis and his passion for positive mental health. So when Curtis left us, my thought was, I'll never be able to bring his body back, but I would never let his dream die, nor will I let the work that he started here in Flagler County die with him. So, you know, ironically, he was an athlete, both in football and in track. And the way I envisioned the departure of his life is that he literally handed us the baton and told us to make it to the finish line.
And be great, right?
And to be great, for sure.
So, Trent, do you want to talk a little bit about how you knew Curtis and you know, what his impact for you might have been?
Yeah, for sure. So, Kurt was definitely my best friend throughout high school. I met him in middle school. He was more so a brother. Him and I did everything together, whether that be football, whether that be track. Those are both sports we both did throughout our entire high school career. So we kind of tag team along that journey together, even after, you know, those activities, going to each other's houses. If he wasn't at my house, I was at his, or, you know, we were at a friend's house all together. But we definitely, you know, grew up together as far as, you know, high school and learning about life together, learning about, you know, what we wanted to do after high school, just making sure we can be each other's accountability partners, you know, in a lot of things, a lot of first time experiences with each other.
Do you remember how you met?
The first time I saw him was in eighth grade at Indian Trails Middle School, and I just seen him walking in the hallway, and he just had this huge Kool-Aid smile and these huge dimples that, like, you couldn't, and for some reason, like, I just started laughing, and he noticed that I was laughing. And he was the type of person to, like, be very, like, talkative. He's very friendly, so, you know, we just kind of met there. And then in high school, going into ninth grade year, we had became close because we started football together.
That's cool.
For sure.
So, Valerie, tell us a little bit about how did you meet Curtis?
We kind of had the same friend group in middle school. And I remember I didn't know him. Like, so we just had the same friend group. But the same thing that Trenton said, he had this infectious, bright Kool-Aid smile. And I remember meeting him for the first time. And that was, like, the first thing I said. I said, I just love your smile. Like, you have such positive, radiating, like, energy coming from you. And I remember we just sat there and we were talking about kind of our dreams and goals and aspirations, which for an eighth grader is kind of weird to talk about, but I just love that about Kurt because I was the same way. And we vibed off of our energies and our drive together. And from there, we kind of just grew this bond and this friendship for that. I feel like for that reason, like, we always just kept each other accountable for what we were doing in life.
It sounds like he was, like, a real leader and a mentor for a lot
of
you guys.
Sure. He really was.
Way ahead of his time.
So, Drew, how about for you? How did you meet Kurt?
Yeah, so I actually went to the high school that was I went to FPC. I went to a different high school, and I ended up transferring into Matanzas. And I had already knew who Kurt was. I didn't know a bunch of people at Matanzas, but I knew, you know, Trenton because we went to the same church back in the day. And then I knew Curtis, and I just knew of him already. I can't remember why or how, but, like, he was connected to so many people, you know. It's hard not to know who he was before I, you know, got to Matanzas. So I had got there, and I'm like a year older, you know, than Curtis. I'm a grade ahead. And I just remember, you know, coming to Matanzas, you know, joining the football team, and, like, us being, like, in high school, you know, you're still kind of, you know, developing, and, like, people don't really have it, like, just down packed already, being able to just, like, you know, crack on with somebody and just, like, you know, just have a really, like infectious personality and feel so invited, you know what I mean? So me and him just became, like, instant friends, right, because I was already kind of friends with Trent, and he was close with Trent, and I just, you know, they accepted me into that group like, you know, nothing. I'll never, you know, forget that, because especially coming from a different school, you don't know anybody. You know, it was really dope to just kind of to get along with a group of guys, you know, as fast as I did. So that's kind of how I met Curtis. And, you know, I always knew of him. And it was just, you know, it was insane, you know, how much, you know, crazy banter we always had, you know, the jokes, you know, on the team, you know, the locker room talks, the, you know, just all the weight room talks. It was just always a vibe, man. So that's kind of how I got to know him.
So what kind of positive impact do you feel like he had on your life?
So this is probably the biggest thing I took from Kurt, and I say it all the time, is just being able to not judge, right? Like, obviously none of us are perfect, but when it came to, like, just getting along with different type of people that might not be in your friend group or might not be in your sport that you play, because that's how it is in high school, right? Like, it's kind of grouped up. You know, some people, you know, hang out with, you know, the people in their sport, right? Or they hang out with the band, or they hang out, you know, with whoever they hang out with. But how Kurt was he knew everybody. He was friends with everybody. And I learned not to judge, you know? I learned to just accept everybody for who they are, you know, because we're all just humans are on our own individual journey. And, you know, some might be athletes, some might be, you know, part of the math club, whatever the case may be. But, you know, we all have, you know, some type of connection to each other. And that's just through being, you know, him being on our own personal journey. He accepted everybody for who they were. And that's the main thing that I gained from, you know, my friendship with him is just, you know, and it helped me to be able to network too. Like, just growing up, you know, now that I'm 24, I have my own businesses and stuff like that. You know, he helped me to learn how to network with people and not to be scared to, you know, go up to a stranger and cheat them, to tell them, hey, you know, and just and start having a conversation.
So, Carmen, are you surprised when you hear, I mean, that's really mature for somebody who's in high school to kind of cross those boundaries and move through the cliques and say, listen, we're all people together.
No, I'm not surprised. When he was six, I would make him practice saying his name. I would make him practice firm handshakes and to never look away. So he had to say his full name. Hi, I'm Curtis Iswell Gray. I'm 6 years old. How are you? Or I'm Curtis Iswell Gray, and I'm here to sell you, because at that time I was a traveling salesperson living in Atlanta, and I didn't have a babysitter on one given day. And I told him, I said, Curtis, you can go to work with mom, but you have to be very professional. So we went through this whole entire thing. And I said, whoever looks away first loses. So I would always make him give straight eye contact. And he had the deepest dimples. So he walked to the door. And this is back way back in the day. I used to sell Yellow Pages. I don't know if you remember Yellow Pages.
I do, yes.
So as soon as he would get to the door, he would say, hi, my name is Curtis Gray, and I'm here to sell you Yellow Pages. Well, all the people who had told me no said, well, come on in, honey. It worked like a charm.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, and he just carried that, you know, just to always, you know, you don't exclude anyone. With sales, it's the same thing. You can't assume someone doesn't have money because they don't look like it or whatever. And he learned that out in the field with me.
See, that's amazing. And then he translated what he learned, those life lessons, to his peers in school, mm-hmm. you know, who were just getting that foundation going.
Right.
So for you guys, when you talk about mental health, what's with that?
So my senior year of high school, I started a community project, and it was based on mental health and self-image in adolescence. And I originally was targeting just elementary school students because I felt like that's where it started. And I ended up having a conversation with Kurt about it, and he was like, tell me more about your project. And I was telling him, and he stopped me and he said, Val, this needs to go beyond, you know, the little ones, but on elementary school. He goes, what you're doing is important, and I think you can impact more people. He's like, I need you to think bigger, think outside the box. He goes, start doing it in middle school, start doing it in the high schools. And then there's me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it in high schools, because like, these are like my friends and my peers that I'd be talking to. He's like, Val, you need to do it. And he really encouraged me to think bigger and to do more. And so I ended up doing that. I ended up doing it in the middle school. I ended up doing it in the high school, and ended up being a really big thing and part of one of the classes at FPC. And I just always think back to that moment with like Kurt, that conversation with Kurt. I'm like, if I didn't have that conversation with him, I don't know if I would have been able to think bigger than I did for that project. Yeah.
And, you know, did you, what, are you 2000, class of 2000?
2019.
2019. And that's the time when so many students were struggling with mental health, mm-hmm. But nobody really knew how to talk about it or navigate mm-hmm. that. So how did your peers respond in the school?
Very positively. Very, very positively. I ended up starting a program at FPC. It was kind of like a pilot program where the seniors would mentor all the freshmen coming in, because, you know, freshmen going into high school for the first time, they're very nervous. So I ended up starting a program where the seniors ended up mentoring the freshmen to kind of like help them. So I would say it was a very positive impact on the community and on the schools here.
So have you carried that forward to anything that you're doing now as an adult?
Yes. So I'm actually in school to be a teacher. Oh, and wow. One of my biggest things that I talk to, like, I'm in interning right now. And one of the things I talk to in my class that I intern in is mental health. Even though I'm interning in a fourth grade class, like, I still feel like it's very, very important to talk about. And so usually, probably like once or twice a week, we'll have like a 10-minute mental health break, and we'll just sit there and we'll talk about anything. If the students need to come talk to me about something, or if they want to just talk to their peers about something that's going on, it's just like a nice little mental health break for them.
So do you feel like Curtis and his story has kind of helped shape your future?
100%. Because like I said, when we had that conversation, he said, Val, think outside the box, think bigger. That's not even just school, but everything I do, that's all I hear in the back of my head is think bigger, do better, think outside the box. I always have that in the back of my head now.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's hard to get out of your head, you know, because mm-hmm. you just want to achieve now.
Yeah.
So how about for you, Trent? I mean, how has he impacted your future?
So basically, to piggyback off of what Valerie said, how he would say not to think outside the box, one of the last text messages Kurt sent me was to think outside of the box. Like, we would always do this funny thing where we'd send emojis and tell a story with the emojis without saying words. And one of the emojis he sent me was a box and, like, arrows pointing outside of the box. And I didn't know what it was, but he meant to think outside the box. And I definitely take that with me in life, because now there's a lot that I'm doing. I'm a father of two children. I have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. I'm in an entrepreneurial space now. Me and Drew also had some, you know, endeavors that we did together as far as entrepreneurial space. But, you know, in that, I feel like everything does start with mental health, because you're not going to be able to, you know, attack the daily things that you need to attack or achieve your goals if you're not starting with mental health. Because essentially, you know, everything in the mind. So what are you doing to nurture your mind? What are you doing to, you know, develop yourself on a personal level? And then once you do that, you should definitely give that to the world. You should definitely teach other people about that, because I think that's the number one battle that people do fight. And Kurt was very, you know, adamant on teaching people that lesson. He did battle depression himself, but you would never know unless you were very close to him, and he felt vulnerable enough to have those conversations. But, you know, all in all, he did teach people to, you know, just be confident. Don't like what Drew said, don't worry about, you know, judging people. Don't worry about others judging you. And I feel like that's a message that people, a lot of people, not just me, should take forward, you know, and use that in their life for sure.
So do you guys share any mentorship with through the foundation with others?
Yeah, for sure. So we definitely, there's a proclamation coming up on the 27th of April, and it's going to be a little similar to the march we had, where everyone just gets together and we all got up on stage and just, you know, spoke about positivity and mental health and things that influence each other and the community. And like Valerie said, you know, people do respond very positively to it. And that's why I think you should continue to do it, you know, with the holiday they have coming up for Curtis. I think that it should be something that people are reminded of, because it's easy to veer off. You know, people get caught up in the daily stresses of life, you know, tackling everything they need to tackle. So I think it's very important to continue to remind people of who Curtis was, of his name, of mental health, of personal development, so that we can all stay on the right track. And you know, it all goes back to Curtis. The foundation is Curtis. So when they remember that, they'll, you know, have that sense of improvement in their life.
You know, listening to you guys talk, it's like listening to a 40-year-old. it's the maturity level and the way that you've thought things out and the way you can articulate your message is so clear. I mean, most people just don't have that ability. And it's, I mean, I don't know if it's Mama Carmen who's done it for you or, you know, the working together, but it's really impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to say that it has to be, it's Curtis. I came in on the back end. He had time with these guys that I didn't have prior to his death. Valerie is one of our junior board members. I do want to put that out there, that I do believe when you're trying to get the heart of young people, you need to be surrounded by young people, the way they think, you know, the things that they're facing. We are a society that's influenced by social media, the things that we see. I do want to bring Drew in on this point, because he just did a TikTok about some of his struggles and how he was able to overcome them. But I'm surrounded by, and these are three that represent a multitude of young people that if we could get them here and have them speak and say the different things, I get letters all the time, text messages all the time from his peers, and to be able to see not just where they were in 2019, but to see where they are 5 years from now is incredible. The only thing I would say in terms of positive mental health, piggybacking off of what Trenton said, Curtis did go through depression, which is how we got started on this whole journey to positive mental health. And the way I explained it to him, I said, you're an athlete. If you were to break a bone immediately, you'd be like, Mom, take me to an ortho. And I said, so when you have tragedy or something really traumatic that happens in your life, the brain literally
creates a fissure, so there's a break. And I told him, I said, Mommy can't help you with that. So we have to go see a specialist. And his whole thought process, as most young people would be, is what are people going to think about me? And he says, Mom, I don't want to appear to be crazy. I said, you're not crazy. You're processing hurt. And so I sent him, we found a therapist that he really liked down in Daytona. And he went through this program, and once he realized it wasn't the big boogeyman and it wasn't there to derail his personality or his derail his masculinity, and he understood that the process was actually helping him, I told him, I said, Curtis, find another young person. Reach out to them and help them. And it started this ping pong effect of, you know, different students that had been impacted by that positivity that you're hearing about. So the foundation itself capsulates on emotional resilience. And emotional resilience taps into other things, like it helps us to take a pause, to think about actions, to think about reactions, to think about how we're going to process whether it's hurt, trauma, a disruption in our lives that can literally reset our course to something negative. So we think about emotional resilience in terms of how it permeates into our outer behavioral health. So the whole program is set to, you asked me last week, you said, do you have your doctorate? Are you a professional?
And is this the cracked egg?
This is the Who Cracked My Egg.
So tell us about that part.
I'm going to let Valerie tell you because she actually took place in the very first one. I can talk about it because it's my baby. I would brag about it. But I would rather have her say what she walked away with from that program.
So tell us about it. We have 4 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So the first time I did the cracked egg, I was a little nervous because I was actually meeting a bunch of Curtis's friends that I had never met before. And I was like, oh, I'm really nervous. And basically what it is we were making, it was an eggs Benedict, right? And we were figuring out all the different parts of the eggs Benedict. So you have this egg and you have to make the poached part of it. And then you have to make the holiday sauce. And then didn't we make a meringue too? Mm-hmm. We made a meringue with it. So it was taking all these different parts of an egg and seeing all the beautiful things that you can make with it and how they all come together. And it was honestly such a fun activity. It showed me a lot. It was a very interesting activity. I remember having a conversation with you about it afterwards, and it's definitely something that I'm going to be using moving forward in my classroom. but yeah, it's just basically taking this simple egg and making all of these beautiful things with it, and then putting them all together to make even something even better.
So when you say that, what is the takeaway message that you hope somebody who's experiencing this program gets from it?
So I'll answer that part. The takeaway message is that in order to expose the other elements of the egg, it has to be cracked. I don't think that any one of us, whether in our youth or adulthood, where we can escape life without being cracked. So that cracking will cause us to decide how our life is going to play out. I didn't want to have them make a fried egg, a boiled egg, a scrambled egg. That's something that you're used to. That would be considered normal. But can you elevate your life past trauma? Can you experience something beautiful past trauma? And then what does that look like when you're utilizing each component of the egg in its own form? Because what happens to Valerie may not affect me the same way. What happens to Drew may not affect Trent the same way. So no matter how the egg is cracked, whether you're working with just the white or the yolk or both parts combined, you can literally elevate the essence of that egg by creating something more powerful, more beautiful, stronger than it was before. So it's transformation. And I think whatever happens to us in life, we determine how we're going to be transformed. And then in order to make that determination, we have to have basic components. We have to know how to process. I hated that word process when Curtis died. People say, oh, you have to go through the process. Well, what does that mean? I unveiled that in my book. So I wrote a book, a memoir, all my letters to Curtis. And when I got to the very last letter, the letter was for me. And in that letter, it was me encouraging myself to get up. Like, what are you going to do with all of this? You can rise up. You can elevate. But at the end of the book, there's a entire program that's laid out for anyone who's gone through trauma where they can go step by step by step and find the better version of themselves.
So, 2 minutes. What do you guys see as Curtis's legacy?
I mean, exactly what's playing out right now. I think we're only at the beginning of what's going to be his legacy. Like, take the march, for example, when he first passed away. You've never seen nothing like that for a kid his age or, you know, anyone in Flagler County unless they're, like, a part of the county or, you know, law enforcement or something like that. But I think he has, you know, that type of story that will leave a legacy as far as like a name on a building type of legacy, a park named after him type of legacy.
Or a day named after him.
Or a day named after him, which he has. He has a tree in the town center. So I think that exactly what's playing out is what his legacy is, you know, what the organization talks about, mental health. The shirt says it, rising above the violence. You know, we can't focus on those negatives and things that are going to deter us away from, you know, who we're meant to be. So I think Kurt is just the light of, you know, going out there and being who you're meant to be with no restraints, no chains holding you down or anything like that. So
Drew, what do you think Curtis's legacy is?
Well, guys, I mean, just to start out, you know, I got Kurt World, you know, it's tatted on me, right? So that shows, you know, the impact he's had on my life. And I'll just share a quick story. I know you're gonna get out of here, but you know, before I left off to go play college football, everybody kind of bailed out on me. It was kind of like one of my last nights to go out and hang out with my friends before I left for college. The only person that stayed and came with me and hung out with me that night was Kurt. And one thing about Kurt is, if you know him, you know, if he loves you, if he got love for you, and if you're a close friend to him, he's gonna ride out with you. He's never gonna, you know, make you feel like you're alone. And that was one of the biggest things. He don't even know how much it meant to me. You know, him checking up on me, you know, when I was off at school, you know, hey, big bro, what's going on? Making sure I'm good. These are the little things, you know, that people overlook in our day to day lives, you know, that he did for everybody, you know, that he was friends with in that community. And that's why the gathering is so big, right? When we talk about Kurt, that's why the impact is so big. You know, those little things turned into a huge impact. So that's his legacy, man. It's just the amount of love being spread.
That's awesome. Val, how about for you?
For me, Kurt's legacy, it comes from the impact he had, not on just his peers and his friends, but the community. When we talk about that march that happened for him, it is something so unexplainable. Like, everybody in the community came together. The amount of people that showed up for that showed up for Kurt and Mama and I'm sorry, and Mama Gray, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to see. And for me, his legacy, like I said, it's always gonna be back in my head, to be great. He said that to everybody he met. Be great, do bigger, think outside the box. And for me, that's what his legacy is. His legacy is to be great, do better, think outside the box, and just to impact the community as much as we can.
So, Carmen, is there something coming up that people can come and join and take part in?
Absolutely. So mark your calendars for April 27th. There will be a proclamation made by Mayor Alfin. We are going to do a community-wide reception. So if your life has been impacted by Curtis Israel Gray and you want to take part in this celebratory moment, please meet us at the Community Center in room 101. I think it's called the Hometown Room, but April 27th, the time will be at 10 a.m. We're only going to be there for an hour and a half, so come out and support.
Thank you. And where can they find more information on the foundation?
Go to www.longlivekurt.com.
All right. Thanks for coming in and sharing again.
Thank you.
Just big hugs. You know what I mean? And thanks, Drew, for joining us from out there in telephone land.
Of course.
Arizona. Awesome. We want to thank WNZF News Radio, Flagler News Weekly, and Flagler Orgs for sponsoring the show. And please come in and check out and find out more about all the great work that they're doing on April 27th.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.